been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is Wednesday already. It is January the 21st, 2026. All the lemmings were headed off the cliff selling yesterday, and now they're all rushing to get back in. That's the way the lemmings react. You don't want to follow the lemmings. You want to have a little more level head than that. The Dow is up 343 so far. This is Bill Gunderson, by the way. It's the Best Stocks Now show. After yesterday's sell-off, Dow up 343. NASDAQ has just taken off here. It opened up even flat. Now it's up 174. We are at 23,117 again. S&P's up 52 points. That's 0.75%. It's up to 68.49. Gold is up again. There's just no stopping gold right now. Gold is up another $90 per ounce, 48.56. 48.56. Silver down today, 83 cents. Oil is down a bit. It's up 3 cents. Bitcoin today, it was down $83. Now it's up 417 to 89,969. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And Barry, I really don't understand the emotions that go on in the market from day to day. And I've always said if you can learn to cut through the emotions, you'll be a much, much better investor. There's this crowd, and I don't know what percent of the market is the crowd that just follows the news and reacts to almost every news item, every little good news, bit of good news, every bit of bad news, and is buying and selling on a constant basis. That's the emotional crowd, and they let
maybe the algorithm crowd, right?
Maybe the algorithm crowd. They let emotions get the best of them. They hear that Trump wants to take Greenland, and he's going to jack up tariffs on everybody, and he's going to bring in the military if he needs to. And the market yesterday, all the lemmings were running off the cliff yesterday and jumping into the water and bailing out of everything. But there were some good stocks yesterday. Actually, there was quite a few that were
highlighted.
We highlighted
a few though that were up. Yeah, it was.
Micron continues to rise, and the gold stocks obviously continue to do well. So we survived just fine yesterday.
Gold surviving.
Yeah, gold stocks and gold itself. And I would say this, the forward P.E. ratio of the S&P 500 dropped under 22 for the first time in a long time. That's bullish. It got down to 21.87 as we closed yesterday's panic-driven, lemming-following, crowd-following crowd right off the cliff.
Biggest market pullback I think since the tariff tantrum back in April.
I suppose. NASDAQ was down 2.4% yesterday. The Dow was down 1.8%. What that equates to about 600 points with today's valuations. The huge surprise was for me. I thought that the big jump in natural gas had something to do with the Greenland talk, but it didn't. It has to do with the weather. The cold front that's, I don't know where it's parked right now, but it just headed across America. Yesterday,
finished up here on Sunday and Monday.
Oh, good. Okay. Natural gas was up 26% yesterday, and it's up another 20% yesterday. So I guess I should be watching the Weather Channel and buying natural gas. UNG is the ETF. You can look at that ETF and the reactions to natural gas and this cold front that's moving across America. So, like I say, the forward PE ratio dropped below 22 for the first time in a long time. But it was the whole Trump drama. Here we go again. Never a dull moment. Rocked the markets on Tuesday. You know, there's not much you can do. And I'll tell you, the one that is really just not, it's not instilling any confidence in me. It never has. And I'm sure people that have a lot of confidence in the cryptos are starting to question whether or not it holds up well in a storm. You know, that's important. That's very important because there's a lot of storms that come through the market. And I see Bitcoin not being that store place of value like gold and silver are. In fact, I see the confidence waning in Bitcoin. MicroStrategy was down 7.5% yesterday. And a lot of the crypto-related stocks really got nailed yesterday. That's how yesterday closed. It was an interesting day. And the rare earths had a very big day. Of course, that's pretty much what Greenland is all about, I suppose you could
and
say.
Security. And obviously, you know, national security from a military standpoint.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, Trump's intentions are good. At one time, we bought Alaska, and everybody thought the guy was crazy. They called it Sewell's Folly, and that ended up being a very strategic and a very profitable buy for the United States of America. And I don't know why in today's day and age you can't at least discuss buying, making another purchase like we did with Alaska, like we did with Louisiana, etc. I guess when he started rolling out the, we'll send in troops if we have to. And by the way, that's why the market is up today, is because he discounted that. He says, nah. We're not going to send in any troops to take Greenland. And then, that never a dull moment, Trump. That calmed the markets today, and that's why we're seeing this big jump. And we've had some fairly decent earnings reports coming. Today, Trump will be speaking in Davos, Switzerland. They had to turn around yesterday. They had some electrical problems with the plane. Had to move everything to the backup plane and got a little bit of a late start. And he will be speaking today, but he's already spoken through some kind of channel that we have no intention of sending in the military. Like we did in Venezuela, by the way. And like we've commandeered a few of those oil tankers off of Venezuela, he does not have any inclination to do that. There's also a lot of volatility in the Japanese bond market. And I read a report from Bloomberg today saying that the Japan bond volatility could trigger up to $130 billion in U.S. Treasury selling. And I'm just thinking that's what we saw yesterday. We saw heavy selling in U.S. bonds, Treasury bonds, and you saw the interest rate. Now, remember, the Fed has a lot to do with the interest rate, but at the end of the day, the market's determined.
Yeah, right.
And it shot up to 4.28% because there was some heavy, heavy selling. In the bond market, driving the price of bonds down and interest rates higher, because all of a sudden a lot of supply came onto the market, and we're thinking it was from Japan and from other firms. I don't know. It's something to do with parity with the Japanese bond. It's pretty complicated. U.S. Treasury Secretary Bessent said that Japan's bond volatility spilled over to U.S. Treasuries on Tuesday. So we have the answer as to why we saw that big jump in interest rates. I kind of thought maybe it was just the turmoil in Europe.
Well, And we heard what
Japan.
Yeah, and you had what I think it was a Denmark, Denmark pension fund that said they weren't going to, a Danish pension fund that said they were going to sell their U.S. treasuries or not buy any more U.S. treasuries.
Right.
And, I mean, we've spiked when you look at the, look at the chart of the 10-year and, literally a week ago, today it was at 4.12. And we're sitting now at, just under 4.3. So in bond world, it doesn't sound like a big move, but that's a big move.
That's a big move, very big move. And, a bond fund would have taken a hit pretty hard here over the last few days. I think it's a good time to look for some individual bonds if they're out there right now with this sell-off
in
the bond market. Okay, when we come back, U.S. natural gas now up 50% this week. I can't wait to get my heat bill this month. We'll be right back.
I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Cold weather has caused energy prices to skyrocket around the world. So much for global warming. As Japan's power price rose to a three-month high Wednesday and European gas futures are up 29% so far this month, maybe there's a play there in some of these natural gas stocks. Snow is forecast this weekend in Texas, which is filled with key gas production sites. So that's all kind of at play in the markets here today. Linus Rare Earths in talks with U.S. Department of Defense on rare earth price floors, quarterly revenue jumps. Well, that's the big Australian company. They're negotiating with the U.S. Department of Defense to obtain government-backed price floors for its rare earth supplies, similar to arrangements provided to a major U.S. Producer last year. So that's one of the biggest rare earths in the world, that one in Australia, and that's Lynas. It is in the app, L-Y-S-C-F. LYSCF, it's in Australia. And the rare earth stocks, by the way, with all of this hoopla over Greenland, I saw MP Materials doing well, USAR, which is USA Resources, Rare Earth, which is the big Texas mound where they're trying to, they think there's a lot there. And I've also seen the other one, the Greenland stock, CRML, Critical Metals. I think it's up like 5.5% today, last time I looked. And there's another one that I've talked about many times, and they're buying, I think, an Australian firm. That's UUUU, which is mostly in Utah.
One of the favorite symbols, UUUU.
Yeah, and it's been doing very well also. I think the rare earth stocks, just they're the kind of thing you got to put in your hip pocket. It's like buying silver coins or something and just letting them sit, and then one day all of a sudden silver's roaring and your silver coins are going up. I think some of these rare earth stocks, I mean, obviously, many of them have no sales or no earnings yet. And some of them do, like UUUU and Mountain Pass, etc. I'm trying to, I look a lot harder at the ones that are further along.
Yeah, and further along in actually refining it. I mean, that's the thing about MP that's really unique, and that's where they've really blown up since first quarter of last year, was the fact that, they used to export all of their, they would get it out of the ground, they would send it to China. China would actually, would actually refine it, and it would come back. And now MP has, essentially, I know they cut back on their exports. They may have cut back completely because now they're actually making, you know, refining the minerals and actually selling it. I believe they had a contract with either GM or Ford, buying some of the stuff they're actually refining now. So that's that next level of where we need to get to. Otherwise, you're still going to be dependent on China and other sources for these things.
Yes, and there are refineries under construction in the U.S. as we try to rebuild an industry that we let go, and now they need to ramp it up once again. We're going to get to the earnings from Netflix, Johnson & Johnson. There's no real big ones tonight after the close. Last night it was Netflix. Then tomorrow we're going to get GE, Procter & Gamble, Intel, CSX Railroad, and Abbott Labs. On Friday, we're going to get Schlumberger. We did get Halliburton today, and Halliburton had a pretty good report.
Yeah. They were got a nice little pop, at least when I saw them. When I looked at them early this morning, they were up 4% or so.
NVIDIA's Jensen Huang, he gets around. I mean, he was in CES in Las Vegas not too long ago. He does his own presentations there in the Bay Area when they've got a new product. He's in Davos. He's bundled up along with everybody else in their winter coats and their flannel jammies over there in Davos, Switzerland. He discussed the breakthrough technology of AI with BlackRock CEO Larry Fink at the World Economic Forum in Switzerland on Wednesday. He made some pretty stunning comments. He said that AI is essentially a five-layer cake. I like a five-layer cake. Now you're talking my language. With energy being the first layer. Okay, and we're learning that first layer, in many cases, nuclear. And I read today that Alibaba is teaming up with some of the nuclear companies in China, teaming up with them to build nuclear reactors to power Alibaba's data centers. And we read about England yesterday on the coast of England and teaming up with Jacobs Engineering to build nuclear. And, of course, all of the nuclear activity that is taking place. We haven't really cracked that SMR yet, the small modular reactors. It's coming. It's kind of out there with quantum computing, maybe a little further along. But the established nuclear stocks, and they're volatile. I just want to warn you, they tend to be volatile. But, Wang really emphasized that's the first layer of the cake is energizing these things. And he's saying that AI and robotics are changing the nature of work rather than eliminating it. He says it's the largest infrastructure build-out in human history. Well, that's going quite a ways. You know, think of the infrastructure that came along with Henry Ford and the automobile, and then, of course, the railroads.
Building the highway system.
The airports.
Eisenhower. Wasn't it Eisenhower when they built the interstate, interstate road system, right, I believe?
Yes, and now he's saying that AI is going to be the largest infrastructure build-out in human history, and it's going to create a lot of jobs. A lot of interesting things. He also talked about robotics, a once-in-a-generation opportunity for the European nations in the robotics area. NVIDIA praised Anthropic's Claude for coding capabilities and OpenAI's ChatGPT in the consumer space. He said Anthropic, which is private, obviously, has made huge progress, and they have a huge lead in developing the AI cloud.
Yeah, I was reading about Anthropic and Claude and it, helping coders, and man, it's really it was a software engineer who said essentially everything he's learned for 30 years or whatever, right, doing his job, that he did a project I think in like a week that normally would have taken a year.
Unbelievable.
In the past, so it's pretty wild.
Yes, I'm learning to use it in a lot of spreadsheets that I build, and it does speed things up. There's no question about it. Okay, when we come back, there's a lot. We've got some quantum news. We got an update on Elon Musk and CyberCab and Optimus and his boring company. We'll be right back.
Well, the top brass don't like him talking so much. And he won't play what they say to play.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, Houston. We have got those dates, and we are starting to fill up those appointments already. February the 25th and February the 26th at the Westin Galleria. 2 days of appointments, 1 hour appointments with the team. And then, of course, Wednesday night, the 25th of February, a workshop at the Galleria there in Houston at 7 p.m. We usually go to about 9 when you figure in all the questions and my bedtime and everything, which is 9:15, and, you know, so I can do the show the next day. And then on Monday, Monday that week, I'll be in Phoenix teaching a workshop. I haven't gotten a response from them. I'm asking them if I can invite outsiders to come to their investment club in Sun City West, Arizona. And there will be some baseball players in town that weekend. Yeah. In fact, the first two or three games of spring training I'll be at with the Padres that weekend. And so got some fun planned. But if you want to reserve a one-hour spot appointment with the Gunderson team, including myself, meet face-to-face of 1 hour, you better reserve a spot with Edie. She's the keeper of the schedule. 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Or you go on the website at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. And you have to reserve a spot for that workshop there on that Wednesday night at the Westin Galleria in Houston. Boy, I'm looking at some stocks here on the move today. American Resources Corp, AREC. That's a rare earth stock up 10.8%. USA Rare Earth, that's the Texas Rare Earth stock. That's USAR. It's up 8.8%. Ramaco, we own that in the emerging growth portfolio. That's METC. It's up 8.3%. Look at AMD, up 7.4% today. Western Digital. By the way, Barry, I figured out the puzzle of where SanDisk came from. I remember now. SanDisk was bought out by Western Digital at one point in time. For a long time, they owned it. Right. And they're the ones that spun it out here recently. So investors in Western Digital have done quite well over the years. As SanDisk continues to sparkle along with Micron with that big memory shortage, Micron's up another 6.2% again today. Western Digital's up 6.8% today. So anyways, you got a pretty strong day all of a sudden after yesterday's just, wow, mini crash. I call it a motion-driven idiots running off the cliff and jumping into the water like the lemmings. That's what you had yesterday. Now they all want back in today. That's the ridiculous part of the market that to me is unexplainable. Whatever, there's a lot of emotion. I realize money is an emotional subject. All right, well, let's take a look at some other things that are going on, a lot of things. What isn't going on today? There's a lot. Rigetti, they get their target price upgraded by Wedbush. after they get an quantum order. How about that? That's one of the first. After they received an $8.4 million order for a 108-qubit computer. Well, okay, are they going to have them at Costco? Can I buy a 108-qubit computer? Will it write the newsletter any faster for me? Is it worth $8.4 million? That's what it costs right now for a qubit computer. I don't know how you upgrade the stock on a sale like that, but they do. They upped their price target from 35 to 40. Elon Musk warns of a slow pace of getting out those cyber cabs. I just don't see that as a money-making deal, producing cyber cabs. With all the competition there is out there, it's really the hardware, but I guess there's quite a bit of software there too. Will it be profitable venture? He also says it's going to take a while to get these robots out there, the humanoid robots. He says it's going to be agonizingly slow getting the early production going. But once they've got it figured out, then he says it'll really take off. And in the meantime, there's a tremendous traffic jam every day on Interstate 80 from Reno to the Tesla Gigafactory at the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center. I've been on that Interstate 80 many times. Going from Fairfield over to Reno. I used to, when Douglas and I were working on the app, we used to ski over at, I can't think of the name.
Heavenly?
Of the,
not Heavenly.
Well, Heavenly is there, but we're low-budget guys. We went to the the budget one that's lower down, you know. Sometimes there's rocks and the snow and this and that, but it's a real nice little run there. So I've been on that 80 many times, but he is proposing a tunnel underneath the ground, a 9-mile-long tunnel under Interstate 80 to get those people to his gigafactory. It sounds pretty self-serving there, and they've given him $50,000.
He's got a Tesla tunnel. He's got a Tesla tunnel in Vegas, and that thing, apparently, I've seen some videos of that thing. It looks pretty interesting.
But, yeah, well, you know, and what a job creator. He has created 22,000. There's 22,000 people driving to work there in Reno to the Tesla Gigafactory, and there's also a Panasonic factory there. Reno's a nice place, actually. I like Reno. It does get pretty cold. But you're right there, you know, next to Lake Tahoe, not too far away. Drive up to Tahoe. You've got ski resorts. You've got all the restaurants there in Reno. Gambling, obviously. You got an international airport. You've got college football. Not a bad place. Anyways, that's an update on Musk. You know, his stock got hammered yesterday, and I'll tell you why. And we never got to this story yesterday. You never know with Trump. You know, he says things, and he mentioned that he could allow, I just can't imagine this, allowing Chinese EVs. Did you see that story yesterday? He says, I wouldn't rule it out. They're much cheaper. Yes, I mean, you can buy an electric vehicle, a Chinese, from, you can buy a BYD, or a NIO, or an XPeng, a lot cheaper than you can here in the U.S. But, you know, that just kind of goes against everything he preaches about, you know, bringing manufacturing back to America and everything like that. But that comment sent Tesla shares crashing yesterday because, I mean, that would crush Elon Musk if you brought those Chinese cars. Now, Tesla's recovering somewhat today. It's up 2.3%, but, man, it was threatening to really break down yesterday on those comments from Trump, who's got a big mouth. There's no question about that. And when he opens it, it does move stocks, move the market.
Yeah, it moves markets.
Now, who's coming along with a version of AI? Who isn't coming along with the version? We've got Anthropic. We've got OpenAI, we've got Grok, we've got the Chinese versions, DeepSeek, Meta. Meta's new AI team delivered their first key models internally this month. Oh, and let's not forget Google, who seemingly is at the top of the heap right now with their Gemini 3. Let's see if Meta stock is reacting. Yes, I don't know if it's market. Meta stock was also breaking down yesterday, kind of with the software sector. But it is up 1.2%, and never count Meta out. Just like Google, it took them a long time, but eventually they got in the race. Not only did they get in the race, they jumped to the top of the leaderboard in the AI race with their Gemini 3 car going 247 miles per hour, and now you've got Meta entering the race. You know, we've talked about Kraft Heinz a lot here about what a bad stock that is and made fun of it. Even Warren Buffett, when he decides to sell something, it's got to be bad. Kraft Heinz fell sharply. You know, it's got negative returns for the last 10 years. I don't know why he sat on it for so long, but he is not one to go in and out of stocks. But I think since he retired, I'm sure he still has a lot of say. It seems like the new guy seems to be a little bit more looking for better stocks of today, maybe, and cleaning out some of this garbage out of the pantry, like Kraft Heinz. And, of course, that stock is tanking as Berkshire is dumping a big chunk of their sour bet on Kraft Heinz. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Boy, what a difference a day makes. Yesterday it was like, you know what? The Dow was down 700. The NASDAQ was down 350. The gold stocks were soaring to the upside. And even some of the tech stocks were doing well yesterday, despite the sell-off in the market. And it was all about Greenland and all of the rhetoric going back and forth, and all of the threats by Trump, and all of the threats in return by Europe. And it seems like we should have learned the first time around back in April of 2025, this past year, about 9 months ago or so, that eventually things work out. And there's a lot of bluster in deal making, I suppose you could say. And eventually a deal is made. And I think there will be some kind of a deal made there in Greenland that's profitable for Europe. That I think if Europe gets a piece of the action, and in return they get the NATO countries get us to defend Greenland. I mean, what could be wrong with that? And enrich the people of Greenland with the natural resources that apparently are there. Well, we don't know for sure yet. That's all we know is there's been some test digs that were very promising, and we know of three companies. If you go back 2 weeks to my newsletter, the Greenland edition, I listed three stocks that have exposure to Greenland. I didn't think I'd ever be investing in Greenland or watching news coming out of Greenland, out of Nuuk. I didn't know that capital either, N-U-U-K, with a little umlaut or something on it, a little apostrophe on it. But anyways, like I say, never a dull moment. And I think Wedbush was right yesterday. They said Greenland battle may roil the markets, but buy the tech winners during this sell-off. And that's what's ripping and roaring here today. If you followed that advice, we already own the tech winners, so we're doing just fine here. We were a positive at one point yesterday, and then in the very last couple hours of the day, the selling picked up.
It was kind of when that press conference started. I think it started, I don't know, around 2 or 3 yesterday, and went for a little while. And
yeah, that the market going, started the to
kinda,
peel kinda off.
Kind of got a little more afraid, I guess you would say.
Well,
time.
The good news is when the bell rang, we were under a 22 forward P.E. ratio. We closed the day at 21.87. Earnings estimates are as high as I've ever seen them. This would be a record haul. The next 12 months, we're expected to make $310.84. So if you divide that by into the current S&P, which closed at 67.97 yesterday, that yields a forward P.E. ratio of 21.87, which is well above the 5-year average of 20. It's well above the 10-year average, which is more in the 19 area. But we have seen 23. We've been as high as a little over 23 recently. So we have come down quite a bit from that. And you could make an argument for a little bit of a valuation opportunity in the market right now after yesterday's sell-off. Of course, it's all about what you buy. Now, the stock I want to talk about is a disaster. And I am so glad we sold it back on November the 6th of last year. I couldn't stand to look at it anymore. The chart just kept getting uglier and uglier. We sold Netflix at $912, and I think we booked a 40% profit in Netflix. And I hate to say it, but I think Netflix has done the same thing as that Disneyland did. I think they've done the same thing that Target did. They've done things that are not political or not popular with families that, you know, spend a lot of money watching Netflix. I mean, it got so bad that even Elon Musk was calling for a boycott of Netflix because of their agenda that they apparently have. And we've seen this hurt, you know, Bud Light, Budweiser, and I think Netflix has now got the same thing going on with their stock. That's an ugly chart on Netflix.
And then, of course, throw the Time Warner deal in the middle of it, right? And it's something that, you know, it seems like investors don't really want, although, you know, seems like Netflix is pretty hell-bent on trying to acquire
them.
Well,
now they're offering all cash for Time Warner to use their cash, and Time Warner has had its own controversies. It's been a horrible stock ever since, really, they bought AOL. That began their downturn because they assumed a lot of debt to do that. I see maybe five or six AOL counts in a year of people.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I'm telling you, it's a margin issue, because the thing about Netflix is they've had, you know, fantastic margins in terms of what they're doing. And, you know, the problem is with them taking on Time Warner, they're going to have to issue a good bit. They were planning to issue a good bit of bonds, which are going to create, you know, higher interest expense. Lowers their margins, and so you've got a it really comes down to it, as always, it's a future earnings issue that they're worried about. So.
Yes, and there's also some bad sentiment out there on Netflix, and you add those two together, and you've got a sour looking chart, boy. Turn that chart upside down, and you have SanDisk, which soared more than 9% yesterday. The shares have gained more than 60% year-to-date and 1,100% over the past 12 months. Why? Because of the historic memory shortage, lifting stocks like Micron, Western Digital, Seagate, SanDisk, etc. Okay, well, we're out of time. You better reserve a spot if you want to see us in Houston. That's coming up. That's just 4 weeks out now, a little over four
Ready
weeks
to get
out.
Going. Yeah.
Our first foray there at the Westin Galleria. I look forward to teaching the workshop. I love getting in front of a group and trying to display some of the things I've learned over the years and pass it on to you. And then those individual appointments, I mean, that's rare to get a one-hour appointment. And we've got room, you know, we fill them up. That's all I can tell you. 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.